In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
This past Sunday, we commemorated the cross coming into our midst in the middle of the fast in order to strengthen us in the midst of our asceticism. Today, we celebrate our father among the saints, John of Sinai, John Climacus, the author of the book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, because it reveals to us what the fruit of the cross is. We do not enter into the cross except by the promises of God and the hope that is instilled within us that the fruit of the cross will be holiness and participation in the very life of Christ himself, that we will be made like him, that when the Father sees us, he will see his children like his Son, and that we will live a life that has the character and the virtue of Christ, principally as we see it laid out for us in the Beatitudes. For the Beatitudes reveal to us the very character, the very person of Christ himself. It is not only a description to us of the life we are called to, it is a description of Christ himself. It is a portrait of Christ. And when we are like Christ, it becomes a portrait of us ourselves. John is known for this book that he wrote, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, and we celebrate him today because it has long been the tradition of the church in monasteries that during Lent, his book would be read. And as a consequence, that tradition was transferred to the whole church by moving his feast day here. He has another feast day as well, but we have this Lenten feast day for him. He is trustworthy because what he writes to us in his book is the product of an entire lifetime of asceticism. He was in his teens when he entered into the monasteries on Sinai, and he lived a life of asceticism and a life of discipleship and a life of spiritual fatherhood for many, many years until he was asked by the monastics to write a book about the spiritual life and what we are called to as Christians. And only then did he put into words what was the fruit of his own holiness, the fruit of his own asceticism, the fruit of the cross that he personally bore. And so I want to say just a few things for us about how for us who are not monastics, his book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, still provides for us a pattern of what our Christian life is supposed to be like. And this is important for us because we are called to true knowledge in this world so that we might live according to the truth. Already in the liturgy, the priest has prayed in the prayers silently that in this world, God would grant to us true knowledge so that in the next world, he might grant to us eternal life. And so what John's book sets out for us is true knowledge about the pattern of our life in Christ and what our asceticism is. He sets out for us a ladder of divine ascent. This morning on the drive-in, Kharia asked me, what would you say to the young students that she would be teaching about the ladder of divine ascent? And I said that it is a ladder of love. And then I said to her, what would you say to the adults about the ladder of divine ascent? And she said that it is a process. And both of these things are true. It is a ladder of love. And as Matushka said when I was talking to her, as soon as you take the first step, you are no longer on the ground. Because we start with love. All our asceticism as Christians is asceticism of love. And so from the very beginning, love is what inspires us. We are wounded by the love that God has given to us. And that wound of love inspires us to learn how to love him. Now, it is true that in the beginning, we have zeal without knowledge. We have to grow into that true knowledge. And in our zeal without knowledge, our aspiration exceeds our capacity, our ability. And we desire immediately to be able to love him as perfectly as he loves us. And we must remember that we must learn how to love him. and therefore it is a process. It is a process in John's book of 30 steps on the ladder. 30 because those were the years of Christ's preparation for his ministry. He was 30 when he began his ministry. And John gives us 30 steps on the ladder as an icon of Christ's preparation for our ministry, or for his ministry, but also a preparation for us to enter into perfect love. When we engage on that process, on that ladder, when we step, we are immediately off the ground because it is the love of God that inspires us. And that love, in inspiring us, preserves us even from our own self. It protects us in the early stages from despair and despondency, because we see only the love that we receive and the love we desire to give to God. But when we get onto that ladder of love, it is necessary for us to enter into a process of spiritual warfare. And John lays out for us, I'm going to give you four categories of those 30 steps that he lays out for us. And all of these are steps so that he goes into great detail in his book, but also they give to us context for our life. Context to be able to act with discernment in our life. When we make decisions, when we pursue the virtues, when we engage in our relationships with other people, when we pray. Four contexts for us that John goes into much greater detail than I can this morning. He begins with renunciation of the self and with detachment from the world. And he ends, I'm giving you the bookends first, of renunciation of the self and detachment from the world. And he ends with the trinity of virtues, of divine virtues, faith, hope, and love. And in between those three things, those two ends, there are four categories that he gives to us. The first is he helps us to lay a foundation for our struggle. There too, John is telling us that our asceticism of love is a struggle, and therefore we must lay a firm foundation. I'm only going to touch on those first two, the self-renunciation and the detachment from the world, but he lays out all kinds of things that we have to address. But we must recognize that the beginning is that we give up our self-regard. If we, in fact, desire to love God, all our regard must be on Him. All our attention is on Him. When we fall in love with someone, we do not think of ourselves. We think only of them. When we are awake, when we are asleep, when we are with them, when we are absent from them, we think upon them. They are the full content of our mind and our heart. That is what self-renunciation is. The word may be negative, but the content is positive. We empty out of ourselves that total self-regard of the ego and fill ourselves with regard, attention, focus, love upon God. The attention is what we are paying attention to in our self-renunciation. We are beginning to train our attention to look not at us, but at God. And because of that, just like the one who falls in love with a person, they then exclude every other person. They don't fall in love with every other person that they see as they're walking down the street. They have eyes for that one person. And their goal, in the context that we're speaking here of, is to be married, to be made one flesh with that one person, not with everyone. And so too we, in our focused attention upon loving God, desire only to be in love with Him, and so we cut out all other loves. We detach ourselves from all the worldly loves. I'll give you a hint, or a side note though, that in time, when we have learned to purify our love so that the full content of our heart is God, all those loves that we gave up are restored to us perfectly and purely, without ego and selfishness attached to them. But that's for another day. We begin by building the foundation for our struggle, and it starts with giving up our self-regard and detaching ourselves from love of anything that is not God. Having begun that, having built that foundation, the next thing that John lays out for us is the warfare with our own passions, how to see and to struggle with our passions. This is true knowledge about ourselves. It is absolutely essential, because if we do not know something true about ourselves, then we cannot possibly live a true life. We cannot come in truthfulness before God, who is only truth. There is no falsehood in God, and He cannot bear falsehood in His presence. In fact, it's not that He shuns us, but He purifies us. And so our asceticism is we willingly, voluntarily engage in purification. We determine what our passions are, and we engage in a battle, a warfare with those passions. Those passions may be lust, they may be gluttony, they may be anger, they may be passions of the body, passions of the mind, or passions of the soul. They are ultimately rooted in the fact that even though we aspire to love God, the full content of our heart right now is love for ourselves and the pleasures of the world. That is the content of our heart, and our heart rules our mind and our body. And so our mind and our body, enslaved to our desire for pleasure, seeks only pleasure. So we struggle with the desires of the heart so that they are replaced with the desire for God. And then the mind is quieted, and the body is ruled, and the heart is the center of our life, focused entirely upon love for God. And then we find the third thing that John lays out for us, which is that we have battle not only with ourselves, but we have battle with the enemy as well for our heart. Because thoughts are often continually given to us, suggestions made to us because of our passions. The enemy knows what our passions are, and as he passes by us, he throws out these thoughts, these temptations. He throws spaghetti at the wall for us to see what will stick, testing our will, testing our desires and our passions. He knows we have this passion, so he gives us this thought to see if we will yoke it to the passion or if we will detach ourselves from it. And it is a test of our will. We build a foundation for struggle that begins to give us patience. We struggle with our own passions so that we have true knowledge. We fight against the snares of the enemy, strengthening our will. And in the end, the final end, the final stage of our asceticism, and this is still asceticism, is to find divine love and humility. I want to be really clear here. I'm not saying that the end of it is that we see the uncreated light, that we work miracles, that we become saints that the world esteems. Maybe those things happen, but those are pure grace given by God for God's own purposes, and they are not with regard to us. They are for the salvation of others. When John speaks, first of all, about divine love, he means enlarging the heart so that other people, our neighbor, even our enemy, dwell within our heart. That is still an asceticism of love. And it is yoked with humility. It is now full circle from self-renunciation to self-emptying so that there is always space for the other. And it is divine because these are the characteristics of God. He self-empties. He empties himself on behalf of his creation, and he does so out of perfect love for the other, not regard for himself, but perfect love for the other. Even the enemy, when we were yet at enmity with God, he condescended to become like us so that he might make us like him. And so it is still an asceticism of love for the neighbor and the enemy and of self-emptying. It is no longer a renunciation of the ego. It is now on a spiritual level, though. It is now an emptying of the gifts that we have received on behalf of the other. And we have become like Christ. And then, we have received what we pray in the liturgy, that in this world we would have true knowledge about ourselves and about God. And we live then every moment of our life in faith, hope, and love, in the certainty that in the life to come we will have eternal life. And we will live by the light of that eternal life, even here. This is our asceticism. We do not seek from God sublime experiences and mysticism. We seek love for our neighbor, and we seek self-emptying and the strength to offer that, because that is what is like God. And all of our early asceticism is to lead us to that divine life of love and humility. This is why John is given to us to commemorate, to ponder upon his life and his writing at this point in the fast. We're going to enter into a stronger fast in the next couple of weeks with more services as we intensify our prayer and our preparation for coming to the Passion of Christ and to his resurrection. And so we understand that at every stage of our asceticism, it is inspired by love, and its end is love and humility. May God grant to us the strength in our asceticism to receive the grace that he gives to us, that we might become like him in love and in humility. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Forgive me.